Welcome to Two Bards, One Mic. Insert interesting music here.
I swear we're actually going to get music one of these days.
Nah.
Episode 60.
60.
The big 60. 60. 59 plus 1.
Yes. The same number of seconds in a minute.
Minus 1. We're going to have to do 52 at some point. I'm just about to give
up. We are. And we just need someone to, you know.
We need a special guest.
Confirm.
Well, I don't. I think.
Or deny.
Or deny. Deny would be good too. So, happy Father's Day to everyone.
Yes, happy Father's Day.
Or happy Father's Day yesterday, if you're listening to this at the normal time.
Yes.
On the
and if you
box.
Haven't called your father, do it now.
If you haven't called your father, you can just call mine. For me. No, I called mine. That's a lie. I totally called my dad.
Yeah. I called mine, had to leave a message.
Yeah. So,
because he was out having fun on Father's Day.
It's very nice. It's very nice. Also, Casey Kasem died.
Yeah.
I just want to get that out. Like, because that's actually a big deal to me on account of the Shaggy. Big fan of...
85, I think?
Yeah, 82. I think it was 82. 82. Might have been 85. I don't know. I'll double check, but I thought it was 82. Of course, he had dementia, Parkinson's, other issues.
Mm-hmm.
So, not exactly the healthiest of human beings. My understanding is his daughter approved end of life, basically end of life treatment where they stopped feeding him.
Gotcha.
So,
yeah, because she and his wife
are fighting. Woo! Oh my God. And his wife, if you don't know her, if you've ever seen Ghostbusters, she is the blonde with the top ponytail at the party. Lewis's party. So,
she got into. Three or four films right around that time.
And Casey Kasem, of course, did a voice in that film. I'm going to assume that part of his contract for doing the voice was, you know, hey, she gets a part. So, what are you going to do?
Hey.
Yeah.
It's not like we haven't dealt with that before.
It's so true. So true. So, speaking of Father's Day, my kids are in town.
Woohoo!
Very, very woohoo. Very happy about that. It's been an exciting day.
Mm-hmm.
So they slept until noon, as they are wont to do.
Yeah, good for them.
Yeah, those little jerks. I slept until 11:30, so it's fine. It's fine. It's fine. But we were up really late last night. Connor, Marks, mm-hmm. and Jesse Keeter came over, and we rocked some Mario Kart into the wee hours.
Oh, they came out over after Wonder's thing.
Yeah, yeah. And Connor is really good at Mario Kart. Begrudgingly, I am saying this. Connor is quite good at Mario Kart.
Yeah.
So.
Oof. He seems to put his mind to things and becomes...
He put a lot of ranks in humiliating other people, I think is what it comes down to.
Oh, nice.
Yeah,
lovely.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, cloud of humiliation.
Way to go, Connor.
It's not a cone. It's a cloud.
It's a cloud.
Yeah, just everyone around him gets humiliated.
Okay.
So the kids finally woke up at noon-ish, and we didn't leave the house until 1:30 because that's how it works mm-hmm. when you're trying to coordinate four people.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's 8 feet alone, the shoes. Just management. Yeah. Just shoe management.
Shoe management.
But they're old enough. They manage their own shoes. You
bathroom
just have to tell
management.
Them, no, not those. Not right. those shoes. You're in Seattle. Flip-flops aren't going to cut it right now. It's downpouring. And... It's 70 degrees, so
yes.
You might also want to wear, I don't know, a dehumidifier.
Mm.
Dehumidifying jacket. It is. It's like walking into a humidor.
Where'd you go at 1:30?
So at 1:30, we decided to go. We argue. I mean, it's the family food thing. The family.
Oh, yes. Where
like, where do you want to go? I don't know. Where do you want to go? Well, it's Father's Day. You decide. Well, I don't want to decide. Just give me that for Father's Day. I don't want to decide. No. So we went back and forth and around, and the kids finally decided. Wings. And I'm like, all right, let's go to Wing Dome. It'll be fun. Holy fucking shit. What a fiasco.
This is not your day. You can't
it's not,
go to Wing
it's
Dome.
Father's Day. It counts.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
But only for, like, you know, the meal.
For the meal. Right.
So we went to Wingdom, and it didn't matter because we didn't eat, or I didn't eat much anyway. What a fiasco. So two people working, period, like the whole building. It's only, they only had four tables, though. Like four tables were full. So it was us, a group of three people, a huge like party in the back that were wearing Sounders shirts or jerseys. So I'm thinking that they were there for the World Cup.
Oh, okay.
And then just a group of like randoms at a booth that I don't think, I just think they were there to eat.
Two people, four tables. Yet two people, fiasco.
Oh, yet fiasco. So for starters, we didn't get our starters. No, for starters, we it was from the time we ordered to the time the first part of our order came out, because I didn't bring it all at once, it was 45 minutes. Two of the tables were down to drink service. They'd already eaten. They were done. The other table got their food, and I don't know how long they were there before us, but they got their food about 15 minutes after we got there. So half an hour between when the last table was served
and you guys,
and we guys got, and we got served, it made no sense. The hostess slash waitress slash apparently bus person bussed the table for the large party. And it was a messy table. Like, you could see it from where we were at. There were kids there. It was pretty grody. Bussed the whole table, did not wash her hands, went right back to food service. Okay, problem number one. We got our food. I'm like, all right, well, I mean, it's in paper, and she touches the plate, so I think we're okay.
Sure.
Still, it's illegal. It's literally illegal what she did. I mean, I've taken my food handler's class. I know what's legal and what's not, and that was illegal.
Right.
Or against code. No, it's illegal. Yeah. Anyway, so we get our fries first, and Abby doesn't get any food for her because she didn't get fries. Hers is coming with a burger. So we wait. It's another about 5 minutes. Then they bring our wings and her hamburger and all this other stuff. The wings were... So one of the things about Wingdom is their wings are crispy. That's like their big selling point. They're crispy wings.
Okay.
That are like... It's a completely different wing experience from most places. It's not it's not your East Coast Buffalo style wing. It's its own thing.
Yeah, where it's swimming in sauce.
And with a curry in it. Or with a, not a curry, a cumin, like a cumin based sauce. It's really good. I like it a lot. Totally undercooked. Like, the wings were rubbery and mushy. Aaron's were cold. Okay. So the sauce wasn't holding on to them at all because they weren't actually cooked.
Right.
So it was just sliding right off. I mean, they were cooked, I guess, they were cooked enough to where you couldn't say they were raw. Like, they probably touched 150 degrees for a minute. So I'm like, fuck, whatever, you know, it's fine. I'm having fun with the family. So I get up to use the bathroom and I walk by the kitchen and there's the cook, the lone cook, eating with his hands barehanded and then going back to handling food. Violation number two.
Yes.
So we like, and I don't complain. I don't like complaining at restaurants. I don't like setting myself up for having food, spit my food later. But you know, this was kind of messed up. So the waitress comes up and she's like, the hostess comes up, who's, by the way, if the place was packed, her attitude would be completely understandable. There were, at this point now, three tables, because the big one had left.
Right.
And she still was chewing her face the whole time. Just grumpy, didn't want to be there, obviously. So she's like, how is everything? And I'm like, well, actually. And I went into my spiel. And I was like, and I told her everything. And I was like, and I watched you bust that table and come back and start serving food again. And she's like, there's a sink back there. I'm like, I watched you. You literally walked from that table to behind the bar and began preparing food again. So, and the wings are undercooked. She immediately jumped all over the cook to shift blame. It was amazing. I mean, don't get me wrong. The cook was a piece of shit.
Yes.
But she's like, oh, yeah, he's new. He's terrible. He, you know, it's like, oh, my God. Like, she franced us. So it was pretty impressive how quickly she joined our side against a common enemy. Anyway, she comped the whole meal, which is great. Because Abby did get a burger out of it that was fairly good, and our fries were awesome.
Yeah, there you go. You know,
whatever. But yeah, so that was a thing. Yeah, no big deal. Then we drove home, and I filmed some stuff for Erin because she's got the San Diego Comic-Con contest coming up.
Right.
Where her dress that she made is being entered into a contest out of 130 some odd people. 30 were chosen. She's one of them. And they have to film this little blurb about themselves. So I filmed that. Raccoon got in our yard in the middle of it.
Sweet.
Chickens freaked out. Erin went out and chased away the raccoon. The raccoon was like going nuts. I think it was trying to dig up an old stump that had bugs in it at the top of our yard. But it was like going nuts on the ground. It was like sitting, like digging between its legs like some kind of comical 1920s fat actor. Like, it was really weird. And it was making those chittering sounds.
Yeah.
Like the kind that you don't think an animal actually makes. It totally makes them.
Mm-hmm.
So that was fun.
Yeah.
And then I came over here.
Sweet.
It's been a fun day.
What about yesterday?
Yesterday was awesome because we... So the kids are into engineering now. Like, they want to learn how to wire stuff up. So we went to Vetco Electronics. If you are in the Seattle area and you remember what a Radio Shack used to be, Vetco is that on crack. All of the little components you could want to wire anything up. And they have rabbits in the store. Not like running around, but like in a cage. You can go, you can go pet the rabbits, get some capacitors, and go home. It's awesome.
Sweet.
So we went and got a bunch of components. And we're going to wire those up probably tonight or tomorrow. Probably tomorrow, because I've got to finish editing tonight. So, but yeah, it was a lot of fun. Like just hanging out. A lot of video games going on right now.
Yeah.
Many video games. Many Armani.
Mm-hmm.
And
lots of the Minecraft.
No Minecraft.
Have we gotten out of the Minecraft now?
Out of the Minecraft.
Okay.
Into the Borderlands 2.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's a wholly inappropriate game for your children to be playing.
Is it? You think?
I'm just going to satellite parent
because
I have no point of reference from which to come from. So I'm just going to tell you, you're doing it wrong.
Perfect.
Because I want to fit in with all the other...
No, that's perfect. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Ne'er-do-well parents.
Yeah, no, that's great. Thanks.
Go best.
Thanks, I guess.
Sure.
Also, the cherry tree in front of my house is producing cherries.
Nice.
So we picked... Now, it's cherry trees, if you don't know, produce cherries on order of pollination, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a bunch of ripe ones mixed with a bunch of green ones.
Ah.
So kids on the shoulders, picking cherries, eating them. It was really fun. But yeah, we've got 2 weeks planned, and I can't wait.
Sweet.
So kind of looking at my watch right now that I don't have.
Yes. This will be an epically short podcast.
Have to do this fucking podcast.
To go with our epically long one.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Have a couple.
The other weeks ago.
Oh, have a little rest. Maybe that's why nobody's on now.
Could be.
Our last one was so damn long.
We scared them away.
It was, whew.
Yeah.
That was a long podcast. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, I'm trying to think of what I did this week. Friday night, I had a reading for a film that I've been cast in called Yuval. And they're going to be starting a Kickstarter campaign for raising funds for that. So as soon as something comes out, I'll have some info. Then last night... some local filmmakers are doing a documentary on shapeshifting called Do You Shift? And
bro, do you even shift?
No, I have an automatic.
Oh, son of a bitch.
So they had a speaker, John Perkins, who is a world-renowned person who has written books on indigenous tribes and shapeshifting. He's an ex-exec who's written a bunch of expose-type books on corporate America, corporate greed, and he's going through... His message is, whether it be shapeshifting in physical form or shapeshifting a consciousness, you know, we are going to be the ones who change the world. We have to shift into, you know, overdrive. So I was asked last weekend to MC and run the auction. So on very little information, I ran my first auction after watching a number of John Curley YouTube videos on auctioning and Stephen Kilbreath and name dropping. Pat Cashman is in the movie Yuval that I'm in, and he was at the reading, and so I was talking to him about it. And of course, I'm getting all these great ideas at the end, but a really quick thing for anyone doing any kind of auction type thing, where you have a group of people and you want to raise some quick money, you play a game called Heads or Tails, and this was brilliant. I could not believe, and this is going to be a treat for those watching the video cast, and I'll have Andy describe what I'm doing, but you play a game of Heads or Tails. Everybody buys in. You have a large coin, you flip it. Heads. Describe what I'm doing.
Oh, so he's putting his hands on the back of his head.
Tails.
And he's putting his hands on his ass.
Yes. So
it's like stage what? Like 4 and 8 of the Macarena?
Yes. Somewhere in there. Right. Yeah. So, in fact, it would be wholly appropriate to have that music playing, I think. But you get everybody in, and it's like you pick heads or tails. Okay, I'm flipping. Heads. And you determine... If it's heads, the heads win, so they stay, or the tails win.
Okay.
So, and then by attrition, you start carving away the audience. And he used the example of, you know, I always bring a bottle of wine from my own personal stash, and it goes something like this. So I was talking to the head sommelier at Rite Aid, and he assured me that this was our best bottle of wine. You pull that out about halfway through so that people don't know what they're winning.
Nice.
And he's like, you know, it's just like $1, $5, $10 to get in, but it's something that gets energy in the room.
Right, right.
And that was a big lesson for me, was that room, if you're doing a charity auction or fundraiser for the Humane Society or for the Komen Foundation or whatever.
They don't need any more money.
Right. But you've got people there. You know what your audience is.
Right.
Here, nobody knows what the audience is.
Right.
I mean, we've got some John Perkins fans. We've got some Alder and Jeremiah fans who want to see him make the film. We got some comp tickets. We got some volunteers. I don't know where there's money. And so it was, there's been a lot of good feedback. People were very happy. We did raise some good money for them and the trip, and we gave away a trip with the film crew to the Amazon.
Wow.
With John Perkins. They're going.
Nice. Nice.
And
very
someone,
cool.
First number out there. I'm going to start the bidding at 5,000. Thank you, sir. That's your paddle. Shit, I should have gone for 6.
Nice.
But yeah, so it was a fun time. It was a good learning experience.
Did you get to do some of that?
Brophy was there.
Oh,
With Jen Yost and her partner, Justice Bartlett.
Cool name.
Yeah.
That's like not even fair.
Yeah.
What's your name? Justice Bartlett.
Yeah. So they work together in the Reiki and...
Reiki? You mean the energy healing?
Yes. Reiki. Yeah, that's it. No wonder everybody was looking at me funny when I kept saying Reiki.
The exact opposite of Rolfing is what it is, I think. It's like on the scale of Reiki to Rolfing, that's how you rate pressure.
I'm more of a
I'm more of a sad hand job guy myself.
Yeah.
Yeah. So can you give us a little calling? Did you do any of the fast calling or?
Oh hell no. I was watching that going, give me 5, give me 5, I got 5, I can do a bunch of gibberish words and use the volume, and I can do the tone and change it up however I want, but I told everybody, we're not going to be playing this game, I'm going to ask you for money, you're going to raise your paddle, that's how this is going to happen. So finally I got like a couple bidding wards, and it was like, okay, great, if there were more paddles up right now, I would be having more fun as your host. But since I'm not, I'm going to stand right between the two of you. And there were these two long rows of tables. And so I'm going, you, and you, and you, and you. And yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Oh man, that's great. That's great. Yeah, is the calling aspect of that, is that an energy booster? Is that why they do that?
I think it's just everybody's signature.
Okay.
A lot of it comes from, because I was talking to another guy there that in fact, John Perkins, who's been involved in some auctions, his more on the East Coast. He grew up in New Hampshire, I believe. I said, you know, I thought it was amazing, especially what a lot of the livestock callers do.
Oh, because yeah.
They get into that, sold, and you don't know what the fuck just happened.
The funny thing is, my understanding is they're actually saying real stuff about the bull or whatever while they're doing that.
Yes, and the people who are there at the auction to be at the auction to buy livestock know exactly what he said.
Right.
But nobody else does.
Right.
And John was saying, yeah, we don't have that in the antiques, you know. It's more of a, yes, we have a three-legged chair, one of which is busted and hanging crookedly, but this was around in the time of the Revolutionary War. George Washington may have sat in that chair. I'll give you 400 for it. He wouldn't pay five at the five and dime.
Right.
But because,
right,
you know, it's talking it up. So Curly does it that way. Other local area guys do not do the calling. But yeah, Curly's pretty energetic.
It just always sounds like Popeye having a seizure to me. Let's give it a go. Let's give it a go. Coming on, let's give it a go. Let's go. Spinach. Like it's
sold.
Sold.
Ooh, olives.
Ooh, Bluto, you bastard. So Tiffany Pike, of course, yes, being on here, tells us, like, very nice, says that you don't need diet and that I'm looking ravishing. Thank you, Tiffany. We appreciate it.
Thank you,
we
Tiffany.
We like to hear it.
We're using a GoPro 3. It is harassment. 3.
But yeah, it's a very
so it only adds 2.5 pounds,
right.
Instead of the standard high def,
right? Because it takes a wider room and squishes it into the same width, the same 1920 pixels wide. So
yeah,
we're squeezing. Yeah, we're losing a few pixels here.
It's like the it's like the Carnival Funhouse mirror.
It really is
of cameras.
It is. Though the closer we stand to the edge, the more we widen back out.
Oh.
So we'll move back.
I'm right here in the center.
That sounds like an awesome time, though. That
yeah,
sounds like
it a really was, fun. It was fun. It was nerve-wracking and fun, and it just turned all the negatives into positives. So I was smart enough to bring a hanky.
Good call.
Because I was in a tie, and I had a sport coat.
Mm-hmm. You didn't just use the tie?
No. And so I was just dripping with sweat. And I just stopped halfway through, and I just said, okay, just a sec. Bear with me. I'm going to do a magic trick for y'all. Just a sec. And I'm now less sweaty.
Nice.
But they were so, it was so hard to get, you know, and I get a laugh out of somebody. I'm like, okay, there's one. Usually I don't have to work so hard to get applause. And, you know, it was fun.
Excellent. So yeah, that's very interesting to me. I wouldn't have honestly. I'm kind of freaking out and geeking out about you meeting Pat Cashman.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, big celebrities generally like, whoa, holy crap! You know, remember, it's a human. Pat Cashman is someone I grew up with.
Yeah.
From when I was, what was I, 13 when Almost Live started broadcasting?
Oh yeah, something like that. Than that.
Yeah.
Coming up and seeing my grandparents, it was the little black and white TV on the Formica tabletop in the kitchen while the adults are talking. Right. I'm watching John Keister, Pat Cashman,
Bill Nye. Oh, man, yeah, the best. Yeah, and you've got Box of Snakes.
Yeah.
Oh, I love Box of Snakes. It's one of my all-time favorite skits. And Mind Your Manners with Billy Kwan.
Yeah.
You know? And, of course, like Nancy Guppy, and I want to say Jim Guppy, have kind of come up in the sound. Nancy as theater.
Yeah.
I like patron, I guess. Like she is huge in theater and makes a lot of stuff happen. And then you've got, yeah, they're just these local heroes, and more than like a Tom Hanks, which would blow my mind. Pat Cashman would be probably like one of the more nerve wracking. I did briefly meet John Keister once at the top of Westlake.
Nice.
No, he was with his kids, and he was pretty angry. Not at anyone in particular. Like, yeah, he was just towing children angrily.
Oh,
you know?
Okay.
Like, yeah, it was not quite holiday time, but close enough to holiday time to where everything sucks at a mall. So, yeah, my thinking is that they probably were getting some food and the kids were, you know, so that was one of those, nope, not going to say hi, not going to even make eye contact.
Yeah.
That poor guy. So.
No, Pat was the first read through. Tabitha Bastion and Ben Andrews are two local area actors who are also in it with me, and we had a reading at the director's house, somebody's apartment, and Pat was there, and Ben was like 25 minutes late, so we just get started, and Pat's like, you know, and he has a very distinctive voice, and it's very low. He's like, you know, I have to leave in about 5 minutes, and Ben's like, I already feel like shit, and you get to hear Pat Cashman say, fuck, his entrance in this film is epic, and I so want to get it funded for no other reason than just for Pat Cashman's, he's the financier of the project that is going on in this. And yeah, he just comes in and he's a total ass munching. what did we decide? Fuck knuckle. And yeah, and it's, and he just plays it with, and he knows it, and he's just having fun. And yeah, so the event on Friday was, everybody was just letting their hair down, and it was really cool.
Nice. So Tiffany has also asked us a question online.
Oh.
If you were a lycanthrope. I don't know what the emphasis is on that word. I've only ever read it. Lycanthropy,
lycanthrope.
Homeopath. Yeah, I don't know. Lycanthrope. So if you were a lycanthrope, what would your alter animal be?
Okay. Bear.
It's going to be bear.
I thought lycanthrope
was
in fact the shifting into the shape of wolf.
I don't know if that's true. Now, the reason is I think you can be a lupine lycanthrope. But I think she's right. I think lycanthrope can be
okay.
I'm
going for turtle.
Turtle? I can see that. Fuzzy little hairy turtle. That's pretty good. Yeah, I'd just do bear.
I want to be a were-turtle.
Okay, stop it. Just stop. Like a turtle or a tortoise or like...
A little boxer, a little snapping turtle. Little
snapper.
Yeah, with the little red painted thing behind his ear.
Well, okay, wait. Now that's... You're talking about a red stripe,
mm-hmm.
which isn't really a snapper. It's a sharp-beaked turtle... But it's not like a snapper. Now you're talking like a Louisiana mud snapper.
No, I'm not talking Louisiana. You're a Louisiana mud snapper.
They take your finger right off, or whatever you stick in that mouth. So I tell you, you be careful.
Okay. Don't tell Jackass about those.
Today we're gonna stick our dicks in a snapping turtle.
And Steve-O goes and has a sex change involuntarily.
Yeah. Anyway.
Not that wouldn't hurt the biological food chain. Much to have.
They've probably all got everything on ice somewhere because they know they're going to lose them someday.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. So the moving forward this week, a little bit of kind of news that's probably going to get us into the question here. We've only got one question this week, by the way. You guys are all slacking.
Yes.
So, Dark Dungeons...
Dennis Nickel.
Oh, you son of a bitch.
We're talking to you. And Brophy.
Well, yeah, a little Brophy. Though Brophy did send me a lovely Happy Father's Day on Facebook. It was very nice of him. Texted me, too. Just really...
Wow.
Yeah, a little overkill, Brophy. Just putting that out there. That's too many chains.
A little too stalkery.
A little too stalkery, buddy. Is it because I made fun of the whole baseball thing? Is that what that's what it is. It's what it is. Happy Father's Day. I'm going to kill you with kindness. That's Brophy's going to be in my closet one day, and he's just going to come out like, hey, Andy, like, how's it going? Until I die.
Mm-hmm.
He'll just hang out until I die. But Dark Dungeons, color correction, will be done on Wednesday, all things going correctly.
Mm-hmm.
Humans and Households color correction and titling and all of that jazz begins this week as well.
Sweet.
So We're going to do the color correction. Then we will start some of the post sound once we get the titles in place.
Mm-hmm.
We've got Foley to do. Once we get sound and Foley, we've already got music going, color correction, titles. That's it. We're like ready to go.
Yeah.
So, woo for
Human Can't wait to lay down some Stevie Wilbrick tracking.
Yep. He's chomping at the bit to get some timing for titles right now. Cause
yeah.
He wants to get his hands dirty.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be good. So that kind of leads into our one question this week.
It does.
Which this might be a long one, so I think we should just do it.
Yeah.
Go ahead and read it.
Paula Moran writes, "We had a bunch of friends over last night to watch the newly arrived Gamers 3 DVD, which sparked a bit of debate after the movie."
Oh boy, so many debate.
Yeah, so many. I wonder what this is going to be about, because
we have our own.
We have had a number of debates.
Yeah.
Do you like the more serious bent that Gamers and Journey Quest have taken, or do you think the focus should go back to comedy?
Personal choice.
And I'm assuming that the more serious bent of Gamers 3 and Journey Quest Season 2
correct.
Versus
JQ1,
Gamers 2. Or
yeah.
Darkness Rising and
right.
JQ1.
Well, Humans and Households is absolutely a return to that.
Yes.
Absolutely a return to that. My personal feeling is I would prefer it to go back to comedy, to pure comedy. The reason being, you can make social commentary, I think, by casting choices and who you make a strong character and who you don't make a strong character and who you give time to. You don't have to make the story necessarily a deconstruction of these ideas. You can actually show instead of tell, I think.
Yes, because I would say, and we've had this discussion, mm-hmm. I think that Darkness Rising is a much stronger
mm-hmm.
Message, because it's not trying to tell a message.
Right.
It is just there in the way everything played out, from the writing to mm-hmm. the casting to each actor's interpretation of things to how everyone gelled and the chemistry on set. I mean, there are some really strong social statements in right. Darkness Rising.
Right. Now, I'm not going to poo-poo on Gamers 3 too mm-mm. much. Personally, I think that it was a beautifully written story.
Yeah.
It was wonderfully, wonderfully written. It was wonderfully acted. We tripped over ourselves a lot technically.
Yep.
And that was due to a number of mistakes. Not a small one of which being our choice of how to shoot, I think,
yes.
was ill-conceived. I don't feel like it looked as good as JQ1, for example.
Right.
And Gamers 3, huge movie, I don't feel looked as good as JQ1. There were also post issues with the green screening,
mm-hmm.
Where you see a lot of artifacting and things like that. But even Countermay aside, the real world, it didn't feel as warm and as lived in and as filmic
yeah.
as JQ1.
Yep.
Partially because I think we were trying some new things. You know, we were experimenting a lot in JQ3.
We were, yes.
Or in Gamers 3, rather. JQ2, there was a lot of comedy there. There was tons of comedy in JQ2. The issue that I think we had mostly is there was so much story that didn't get told.
Yeah.
I mean, Matt was bursting with story for JQ2.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that we ended up focusing on character development that would have paid off in the eventuality that we had 10 more episodes.
Right.
And will eventually pay off if we can get JQ3 funded.
Mm-hmm.
but I think that the comedy was being set up more. I do feel like it was overambitious, and it shows.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like cutting down to a couple of major story arcs, just a few, yeah. like even three major, major story arcs, would have been the way to go.
Yeah.
Because I don't know about you guys, but I watched it and I did totally enjoy JQ2.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoyed JQ2 a lot. But I wanted more immediately.
Yeah.
I wanted more. Gamers 3, I mean, as a fan, so I know, the thing is, I know where we're coming from with with Gamers 3, mm-hmm. like a little bit more behind the scenes-y stuff. I know where we're coming from. As a fan, where where Gamers 3 ended is where I really wish it would have began.
Yes.
To me, that story, like, just get them immediately into Shadow's Domain.
Yep.
And tell that story.
Yeah, because 4, if we ever get the chance to make it, is going to blow people's mind.
Yeah, it's great.
It is the conception, the conceit, the everything about it is off the chart, going back to what started all of this, which was funny, situational, setups. And I think that, for me personally, I agree with you. I like Gamers 3. Mm-hmm. But I would like to have seen that shunted over and not called Gamers 3 and called Hands of Fate.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know Brian and Christian and Carol and myself and Nathan all want to start doing something. We've all grown.
Mm-hmm.
And you can argue either way. Drama's harder. Comedy's harder. None of them are easy. But we don't want to keep doing the same thing.
Right, exactly.
And so I think that the Gamer series and the Journey Quest series should be all about funny, situational conundrums that Matt is excellent at writing and this core group of people are excellent at acting.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, have another that's produced and written and acted by the same people,
mm-hmm.
potentially, but that just drifts over. And so now it's kind of like the Disney and the Hollywood Pictures or Disney and Touchstone or whatever, where, okay, we have this channel here that is going to be for our general audience.
Right.
We have this that's for the more. So we've got, this is our comedy avenue. This is more of our story driven or message driven or dramatic interpretation type pieces,
mm-hmm.
I think everybody would be on board with that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I think it would set the expectation a little better, too.
But I think Humans and Households is going to come through and just...
Humans and Households is a gamer's joint.
As Don Early has often said about DG, the purpose of Dead Gentlemen is to kick you in the nuts with comedy.
Yep.
And that's what Humans and Households is going to do.
H&H floored me. Like, it actually... And if you know DG, you know what flooring means. And it actually floored me. I still laugh every time I edit.
Yep.
It's really funny. We have a question currently. Any word on Natural One, or is that being handled by the guys in Guelph? That is being handled by the guys in Guelph. Natural One will
Who asked that question?
Morally Ambiguous Net.
Perfect. Have no idea who that is.
Me neither. But I believe it's being fully handled by the guys in Guelph. I am not on post for that at all.
Nope.
There is no post that I'm doing for that. So regarding that, my understanding is it's still slated for Gen Con this year. So hopefully you will see it at Gen Con. I haven't seen a cut in quite a while, so I'm actually kind of excited to see a cut because I haven't seen it in a long time. I've seen a rough almost a year ago. So we'll see how that goes, but that is not being handled by us locally. Now, as far as the experimentation side, I agree with you. I'm gonna call on like a couple of the other National Lampoon / Broken Lizard, right?
Mm-hmm.
They make only comedy movies under those banners.
Yep.
Now, the same group of people will make another movie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the people who made The State split into, like, Stella and the people who do Reno 911, right?
Right.
They did Wet Hot American Summer, but they don't, like, Stella, when you do, like, Stella-branded movies, they are always a very specific type of movie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's, you can still experiment, you can still do a bunch of movies together, you can still have the same writer, the same characters. It doesn't have to be, though, a gamer's film. It doesn't have to be a Journey Quest or even a film in any of the connected worlds.
Mm-hmm.
It can just be its own thing and experimental. And I feel Gamers was very ambitious. I feel that it was very, very ambitious. But I feel that because of the sort of novelty of all of it, like we didn't have no experience doing a lot of this, we spent a lot of time telling people like what the right thing was. Like right. we spent a lot of time saying this is how a jackass acts. This is how you redeem yourself from acting like that. I think that you could have shown all that in a comedy.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, I would like to get back to it. And again, this is like I'm not saying Gamers 3 is bad. I like Gamers 3. I'm saying that personally, I think there's another way to do it, and I think that I would enjoy doing that other way and getting back to a more comedic way of you know, like I'm waiting for the first core member of color, frankly. Mm-hmm. You know, like we can say, hey, be inclusive and don't be a racist, but we still don't have a core member of color. Let's do that, but let's keep it a comedy and let's not make his race be the comedy. Let's just put him in the group and have fun.
No, you know,
that kind of stuff.
That's no, what I don't want anyone else in the group.
That's so you're racist?
That's for another spin-off. No, it's just not established in the D6 or the Core 4. And so, therefore, it's not a part of the Gamers franchise unless we happen upon someone and
now, I don't feel,
it organically grows.
Yeah, I don't. I have a feeling that this is not coming from anywhere... So you should probably clarify that you're not saying I don't want a black guy in the group. You're saying I want the group to grow because of the unknown factor.
I don't want the group to grow in color, gender, spectrum, height, depth, weight, nothing.
So like if you eat a little too much, we're going to have to drop Christian?
Exactly.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, yes. If I eat too much, we're going to have to drop Christian. No, because Sean Franklin is one of the core members of mm-hmm. Dead Gentleman Improv.
Right.
And
right.
he's in Jet City Improv. He's mm-hmm. just the people that have been of color have not been around when these things were made, which is crappy, but that's what everything had to work with. But I like the idea of the comedy. I like the idea of not telling someone you're going to tell them a message or get on a platform. I like it just happening. And I think it happened
mm-hmm.
way more effectively and way more subtly in Darkness Rising. And I think people, despite themselves, may have learned something. And I like that delivery method a whole lot more.
Right.
Kind of like, it's like Willy Wonka. You watch Willy Wonka as a kid,
uh-huh.
and you're like, woo, look at that. Oh, no, he's saying don't go to the chocolate river. He's warning everyone. And then I go back and I watch it when I'm a freshman in college
totally
and go,
not.
Holy shit,
he's a murderer.
Not, he's not
a child
helping
murderer,
them.
Right.
He doesn't give a rat's ass. But you see it from two different you
right.
know, angles. And so it's the same movie. You're just seeing it in different filters. So if you're a socially aware individual,
right.
you will get one thing out of it. If mm-hmm. you're a non-socially aware individual...
Is this the Talladega Nights argument? Are you making the Talladega Nights argument?
A little bit.
All right. That's fine. So Morally Ambiguous Net has said he's just a fan from the Toronto area.
Oh, rock out
so,
Toronto.
Hey, P-Mail and Molson, go for it.
Poutine.
I dream of poutine. I have actual dreams of poutine.
Yeah.
Oh my god, it haunts me.
In Toronto area, if I can ever get my citizenship all squared away.
Yeah.
I might be coming out to sleep on your couch.
Yeah.
Because I can get hired in Toronto.
Yeah, well, you know, I love that whole area, Toronto.
Yeah.
I even love Guelph, Waterloo, Kitchener, like that sort of little area because it's a little bit more suburban
mm-hmm.
in terms of traffic, really. I can walk down the street and it's
not... And they got a Prohibition whorehouse.
They have a Prohibition whorehouse.
What's not to like?
Manor yeast. So, there's a whole story behind that that maybe we'll tell someday.
Nope.
So, Paula asked if there's going to be anything further done in the setting of Natural One. Don't know. I don't know. I love the cyberpunk setting.
Yeah.
I want to tell more...
Shadowrun-y.
Well, it's not Shadowrun, right?
But
I want to tell more Shadowrun-style stories. I do very much because it's very lacking.
Mm-hmm. Hey, two bards should do something like that.
Two bards could totally do something like that.
We get Brian Bender on board as our creative consultant. Ooh, because
he's that a Shadowrun nut. So I would love to do that. Currently, there is nothing on our side that we know of. Now, I have not yet read Pwned, Matt's novel. There is a high possibility that there's something touched on there. I don't know. This is not.
Yeah, but that's MMO.
It's MMO, but it's still, anytime you touch on the tech, on the sort of cyberpunk side, you get people who can like hack into, it's true. Possible. And I'm not saying, this is just so you know, hand to whatever deity or to science, hand to Neil deGrasse. I do not know. I'm saying it would be a cool option to work with.
Hand to Neil deGrasse.
Neil deGrasse, man.
I'm keeping that one.
So, and then, he also says that he's the guy who came by to drop off something to Joanna. So I assume he means while we were filming Gamers 3? Or it could have been while we were filming in Guelph.
True that.
Yeah. Anyway, so, and he says, couch not needed. He's got a spare room, so get your citizenship.
Sweet.
Wonderful.
Like spare rooms.
But yeah, I would love to start expanding more or just doing something. Mm-hmm. I want to try and turn around again. This comes
right eyes.
Every now and then it gets a little bit. Anyway, all right. And for some reason now I have Snow Patrol songs stuck in my head. I want to turn what we're doing from a how do we do X to how can we do X.
Mm-hmm.
Where how do means the subject is locked. Like, how do you climb a mountain?
Right.
How can we get to the other side of a mountain has a bunch of answers. How do we climb a mountain? Or, you know, how do we get over the mountain has only one. So I would like to sort of get our mindset into a how do we do things because of time. I mean, I'm working a lot, so I want to do so much of this,
mm-hmm.
but I only have a limited amount of time. So I've got to find a way to enable people to do this stuff. And I would love to be in a situation where we could explore these universes that keep getting created because they're so much fun to play in.
Yeah. I just want a Sherpa.
You want a Sherpa?
I don't care how we get up, around, under, or over the mountain. I just want a Sherpa.
Is that like an alpaca-flavored ice drink?
Yes.
Oh, brain fleece. Anyway.
Ooh, okay. Yeah, we can call it.
We can call it? All right.
We're 3/4 of an hour in.
And Paula brings up that the sample chapter of Pwned is hilarious. Oh, he brought the bag of chainmail to Guelph. He just said what he... Yeah, okay. I know who you are.
Right. Yes. Right.
Thank you so much, by the way. Hi, girl. Yes.
It's like Joanna Daphne.
Thank you for coming.
Joanna Curly. Joanna, there's too many.
Gaskill.
Yes.
Gaskill. Right. So anyway, thank you again. And thank you all for listening and watching to this abbreviated Two Bards podcast.
It's on par with the original.
You know what? When you say it's a good size, it means it's short. Neil deGrasse Tyson, if you're listening.
We're not short.
And you don't mind some short guys.
Who want to put their hand to you.
In a positive way. Scientists have discovered evidence of short matter.
It was a hands-on experiment.
Oh, goodbye.